James Masterbone, Terror Masseuse.
Wow.
That's when the spa from the spa episode that we did on Halloween weekend, they look for volunteers to be like
really bad, really bad workers.
Yeah, and one of everyone's favorite returning characters is James Mascarpone.
The Terror Masseuse.
The Terror Masseuse.
No, you're not having it, James.
It's really easy.
No, James isn't having it.
Anyone can dress like him. You just get naked.
The Terror Masseuse.
Nothing but a fresh cream towel.
Okay. Right. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. The world hasn't ended. Not yet, at least. We've avoided nuclear warfare for 1 week. None of us were killed.
There will not be nuclear warfare.
Is
that how are we going to get political?
Well, how is that not? I don't know if that's political on either spectrum. We just avoided being in a nuclear war.
Are we talking about Fallout? What's your favorite Fallout 4 mod? I'm just the one that shuts the game off.
Yeah.
Dislike those games.
My favorite mod in Fallout 4 is definitely quit to desktop. It allows you to quit to desktop.
There are a lot of people at my job that have Fallout 4 t-shirts or even not Fallout 4. I don't even know which one 4 is. I think I didn't play that one. But just Fallout
Yeah, shirts. Like the Vault Boy and Vault Tech,
yeah,
stuff like
but
that.
Also Fallout tattoos.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where people, where on the outside it looks cooler than it actually is, where it's like, you know, you love the juxtaposition of that little bobblehead like Vault Boy with the chaos of nuclear warfare and the concept of like post-apocalyptic RPG. So maybe they just like love the paraphernalia, the aesthetic of Fallout when they're not actually playing Fallout, because I can't imagine that a lot of people who actually play Fallout enjoy playing Fallout.
I don't know, man. People do love it.
It keeps getting sales. I don't know that's exactly.
Yeah, people are loving it, even to this day.
Why?
I don't know,
man. People like shooting stuff and picking stuff up.
Yeah, there's a certain freedom out there in the wasteland.
Hmm.
It beautifully positions itself where being able to do everything and nothing meet.
I liked New Vegas a lot. Thought that was a real good game.
I had a bug that allowed me to not be able to progress, and that's my only memory of it.
Sounds good.
It was really neat. Very cool.
I wonder if any better games have come out since Fallout 4.
Every game launched is better than Fallout 4.
That's
done.
Not true.
Every game is a better game.
How are you feeling?
Street Fighter V, according to sales.
Street Fighter V is a better game. I'll go on record saying Street Fighter V is a better game than Fallout 4. Hell yeah, no question.
It's hard to compare.
Quantify? Yeah, they're not in the same boat.
Sales numbers. Imagine if sales numbers were actually a key indicator of a good game. That would be wild.
That you mean that the greatest game of all time would have been PUBG?
Hey, that's a pretty good game.
So then what are you saying? That sales indicators are, in fact, the number one indication of whether or not a game is good?
Definitely not. But it's on the list of, like, I mean, if a game is good, usually it'll sell.
The last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on the list. Do you guys remember that t-shirt?
No.
No.
I used to see people wearing that t-shirt when I was a teen.
Yeah, one of those, like, the Hot Topic, like, long paragraph joke shirts, like the...
Yeah, like, with, like, the chiller font,
yeah,
from Microsoft Word, a black shirt with white text, or something about, like, you know, my imaginary friends don't like you.
Oh, yeah, like the voices inside all tell me, you know...
XD.
XD. The voices inside...
Keep telling me to wash this shirt.
The voices inside all tell me :XD.
Oh, man, jokes were just simpler back then.
I know.
Now I got to look up people's jokes on web pages.
It's insane, because back then, like when I first went into high school, that was before like I even was aware of the existence of 4chan. Thank God, what a simpler time. And all the jokes that we had back then, if, and this is true, this is absolutely true, like all the jokes that existed in like, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, those are just on shirts. Like we didn't have jokes on the internet, and people weren't able to even tell jokes. Well, they just told jokes through the shirt.
A little further back, but yeah.
Humor these days is a lot more pretentious than it used to be.
Why? Because people have to say it instead of just like, why don't people just wear their joke on the shirt, right?
You're literally supposed to know what the joke is about to get it.
I'm following you. I'm following you along for this ride. Keep going.
That's it. That's what the word pretentious means.
Yeah.
So if you have to ask, well, then you'll find yourself at knowyourmeme.com.
Like, oh, you don't know what dat boy is? Well, it's kind of complicated to explain. So I'm gonna leave that one for you.
Well, I mean, there was almost no concept behind dat boy. That's a great example of current, like, a lot of jokes are just, like, they derive from almost nothing. It's just a shitty picture with just, it's that boy. Oh, shit, what up? Like, what? There's no ramifications behind that. There's no double entendre or meanings. And it's not even on a shirt. It would be funnier if it was on a shirt.
Maybe we could make a shirt. A throwback to those old, sort of like edgy, like slightly violent text shirts about.
A lot of them were violent, right?
Your meme isn't funny.
I had a shirt that just said something like, "You can't keep up with me because all my moves are wicked." This was in my fattest era. Like I was like a.
That's what it said. Was there an image? Was it like an image, like from a show or a game?
It was a guy doing like a boneless Jesus on a skateboard or something like that. So like imagine, you know, what was he sauced with?
Yeah, boneless J-wing.
That's just a boneless J-wing is a different type of skateboard move, but a boneless Jesus is a popular skateboard move. Sean, get with it, get with the times. Kids are all boneless Jesusing out there, and it's
served sans sauce.
So there was just a man, you know, doing a big old, you know, dank 460, 420 kickflip, and on it just said like, "You can't keep up with me. All my moves are wicked."
Did you know how to skateboard?
I owned and sometimes was on top of a skateboard. Does that answer the question for you?
On it, or like laying down, using it as a rest, a headrest on the floor?
To be honest, I really don't want to get, you know, I think about this a lot. Like, how much guitar do you have to play to become a guitarist? What do you have to do? Like,
I think it's more about your approach to it.
Yeah,
it depends on what you want to spend the time doing it.
But like, if you skateboard all the time and you can't do anything on a skateboard, like every day you're like, "God damn it, today's the day I'm going to learn how to like do an ollie or anything." And then you get on the skateboard and you instantly fall on your face, and then you go to the emergency room, and then when you go in the emergency room, they're like, "What do you do for work?" And you're like, "Oh, I'm a skateboardist because I skateboard every day, but I can't. What kind of kickflips do you do?" And you're like, "I can't even do an ollie yet, but I'm working to it." Like, are you a skateboardist just because you put in the time? Or is there...
I'm going to say yes.
I would say yes.
You think so? I would say there's a bar that you have to clear at some point.
No, like... you can be a shitty guitarist. It's okay.
Oh, can't... Thank you, Mason. Can you... That's a great question, Mason. Can you be a shitty guitarist? I don't know. I've never heard of one. Everyone who picks up a guitar at a party is good.
I think it's about the commitment that you feel.
It's the intent.
In the moment that the question is asked. Is there some attempt or dedication that could be measured or shown in some way? Then you are that thing. I would say
you are a guitar.
More cookies, just good.
Especially with like skill spectrums like that, you know.
I don't know. Like
you might not be a high jumper if you can't. Well, yeah. There's probably like a certain measurement to become something.
But
like
isn't that,
you know?
isn't right there like a qual? Like that's a good example. It's like, hey, I'm a high jumper. Like I do the Olympic high jump. How high can you jump? You know, oh, like a foot or two. Like, well, then no, you're not. And it's like, well, I spend all the
Someone
time trying
to
jump higher than that.
Someone has to be the worst jumper on the team, though.
What?
Someone has to be the worst jumper on the team, though.
Do you think they hire very bad jumpers to make the good jumpers look better at the Olympics?
I just think that somebody has to be the worst. I mean, like,
well,
it's
yeah,
not really a thought. It's a definite, right? It's a guarantee.
Well, there's plenty of people who can't jump at all. So, yes, there is people who jump worse than that. But do you think that they hire bad jumpers to make the good jumpers look better at the Olympics?
No.
But doesn't it make sense?
Are you trying to lead this into a question of whether I'm a gamer?
No.
Because I'm asking myself.
No, but that is a good question some days.
Am I?
You know how I would answer this question? Because I, as I said, I thought about this a lot. This is a frequent topic in my headspace. I think that you are something that, if you're not being paid to do something, because if you are paid to do something, then you are, like, by definition, by society's rules, like, getting paid. You are a professional that. Like, when you are at Subway, you're a professional sandwich technician. No questions asked. This cannot be argued, right?
Wait, they're sandwich technicians now to encourage, like, STEM careers? They used to be sandwich artists. Did that phase out as, like, the liberal art school and, like, just, like, art and, you know, that kind of stuff sort of collapsed?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was sandwich technician. Maybe it is sandwich artist.
Well, my friend worked there in, like, 2007, and he was a sandwich artist.
Well, maybe it's different people at the company. Maybe they're sandwich technicians and they're sandwich artists. The sandwich artists make worse sandwiches tasting-wise than the technicians, but their sandwiches are gorgeous. Like,
no, see, I feel like the technicians are about the speed at which the sandwich is constructed.
Whereas the artists are about the aesthetic of the sandwich?
Yeah.
Technicians may meet standards and expectations, but who's to say if those are the best?
I'm an emergency medical technician, and I don't know where or how I'm a technician. I'm an emergency. I feel some days I honestly feel.
You use all kinds of crazy technology, don't you? Giving someone a shot or putting them on a stretcher or driving them in the car. Like, what?
A lot of people
those
do
are
car
all
things.
Technology.
Yeah. A lot of people do car things and stretching things. How is that? So. That's like stretching.
You're probably not an emergency medical artist.
I would like to think of myself as an emergency medical artist.
It's probably too bad.
What were you going to say, though, when you were talking about the being a professional, Subway sandwich makers are professionals, et cetera?
Yes, I was saying that like about the semantics behind, like, are you a guitarist? Like, once you pick, like, from the moment you like this is the overall question. You don't know, like, let's say person X, Professor X, right? He picks up a guitar for the first time. He doesn't know how to play guitar yet. And he looks up some tablature online, and he starts learning. And every day, he starts learning. And he wants to get better, and he has the intent to get better. Like, when is Professor X a guitarist? Is it a time investment? Is it like, you know, you've put in approximately 100 hours. It's something you're working for. You could play Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. And now you are a guitarist, or is it like more of a? I think that to be those things, you either need to be paid or for people to call. Like, if people you knew would call you that, if people you knew that you could bang out a really sick Smoke on the Water, and then you're at a college party, and then someone says, "Hey, Tony, come over here, pick up this guitar, and bang out a sick Smoke on the Water," then you are a guitarist, right?
So what you're saying is these societal constructs are determined by society.
I guess I am, because I guess I'm saying that, like, in all regards, it is something that, like, either you are paid to do it, and so you are by definition, or you truly have passed the point when your friends or society would recognize you as such. Like, if you are, you're on a park bench, and you just start, and you take out a, like, you don't work at Subway, right? Like, let's say an example. Sean doesn't work at Subway, but Sean is on a park bench.
Let's pretend.
What?
Let's pretend.
Let's pretend Sean doesn't work at Subway for one goddamn second. And Sean brings a cooler that has a foot long of Italian herbs and cheese, artisan bread, and he just starts, you know, he starts cutting the sandwich, and then everyone starts gathering around, you know, like, you have...
They can smell it.
They can smell it from two blocks away, because everyone can smell a Subway wherever it is, wherever they
have
are.
Have you ever walked past a Subway and it has a smell coming out of it that you have never smelled before?
No, I smell it all the
time. No, it's the Subway smell. There is Subway smell.
Yes, a unique signature smell.
It smells like chemicals and yoga mats being fried. But
they really do have an odd smell. I do not like it.
Okay, so Sean isn't. Let's just pretend. Okay, we're going back to pretending. Sean isn't a Subway a sandwich artist, right? But he pulls out his big old footlong right in front of a crowd of people at a park, and he just goes to town on it. Like, he is putting every single thing on this footlong. He is mastering the footlong. Just, you know. Like, toasting it, breading it, meating it, kneading it.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise all over the place. Most of it not even on the sandwich at this point. And
give me a triple scoop of light mayonnaise, please.
Of creamy sriracha. So at that point, someone comes up to him and they're like, oh my God, like, you're really inspiring me. You're one of the best sandwich artists I've ever seen. You have just been called, like, someone saw your ability. And in their mind, they're like, well, that's better than me. That this person clearly is a sandwich artist. Then you are a sandwich artist. And
I'm like a sandwich artist, but I'm like a street characterist version. So all my sandwiches have like really wacky proportions.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like you know, like a really shitty Italian deli where you ask for, like, you know, a regular turkey BLT. And then half of the thing is just like a big chunk of like wet cold cuts. Like, it's like, you bite in and it's like literally just like a pound of wet cold cuts and then also like a sprinkling of mayo and like one single bacon strip and one piece of lettuce and a moldy tomato.
That's art, man.
And it actually, it like ties into the whole, like, Sean is slowly becoming a scuba technician, a scuba. But here is exactly the question, is like, when would you call Sean a scuba diver? Now? I don't think so. But when would you call Sean a scuba diver? Once he's done his second or third scuba?
What? Why not, man?
I'm not gonna give you that. I wouldn't call you a scuba diver.
See, but someone who's not familiar with scuba diving might say that he's a scuba diver, and somebody who's like, see, because that's the thing, like, you know, you fix your computer for your grandma and she says, oh, you're a computer wizard.
Wait, hold on. Are you saying I'm not a computer wizard? Because my entire family
doesn't know anything about computers. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Who's qualified to consider you for these roles, right?
Wow, Mason, you bring up an extremely good point. And maybe
also in a philosophical sense, I mean, I could learn guitar in total isolation. Or bring my cooler of cold cuts and mayonnaise deep into the woods, and I could craft those sandwiches for days on end and become perfect, and no one would know.
And alternatively, the animals might love it, but who are the animals? The animals will eat a piece of, they'll eat a stray piece of turkey and think he's a sandwich artist. They don't know the difference.
This is incredible, and this is why you bring up these things. This is what the whole point of a democracy is. And podcasting, a democratic podcast where I can bring up this and then you can shoot holes in my argument. And for this, I would refine my thoughts vis-a-vis sandwich artists and when you truly become a sandwich artist, a guitarist, or a scuba, is that maybe it's like an elite club where when a, like, Sean just starts scubaing. And then he discovers the coral reef, and he discovers a rare octopus eel. And then when he comes up, he like takes that first big breath.
That sounds terrifying, by the way.
Yeah, it is. But you change the world with your discovery. And you come up from the water, you take off your scuba helmet, because that's what the scuba men have. And then a guy who's riding a boat is driving past you, and he's like, nice job on the discovery, man. Thumbs up. You know, I can scuba too, and I see you really got a promise with your scubing. Like, you're definitely a scubist, and now you know. Like, now you are foolproof a scuber. And, I don't know, like, I guess the animal thing, like, does it matter? Like, when you will eventually leave this earth, and if you're gonna spend every Sunday going into the woods and making a sandwich, like you say, and the only things that know are the critters, and then you die, and none of us knew that you were actually this, like, incredible sandwich artist, then it's not written on your tombstone. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, by definition, you must be seen. Isn't it the question of, like, if the tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? If Sean goes into the woods and makes a sandwich and no one's around to eat it or see him craft it, then has he made a sandwich? Is he doing anything with his time, you know?
No, you're, as a human, you're completely worthless without a memorable legacy, I think is the answer here.
I think that's exactly where we're getting.
Yeah, and that's why I like to print out my trophies and achievements.
And display them, because it's all you're worth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Second grade, you had the best short story in the class, and you'll always remember it because it's literally the greatest achievement you've ever had. And then on your tombstone, it says, you know, he lived a good long life, but also remember that in second grade, he won Miss Gilroy's short story competition, and she didn't give him the Barnes & Noble gift card or the McDonald's in school that he was rightfully owed. So he's still waiting on that, even though he's dead.
You know, I did go underwater this weekend.
I know, I saw a picture.
I was breathing underwater.
Well, let's not go crazy.
I was kicking around and punching down thousands of years of beautiful, imagined coral wildlife. Because I could not control my body under the water. It is very confusing.
Sean, have you ever been under the water before becoming a scuba?
What have you been under, like, any water?
I'm not asking if you've taken a shower before, which even then, actually knowing you and your hygiene habits, I would be questionable on it. Have you ever been under the water?
Have you ever been submerged? I have dived for, like, rings
Dove
and other
is
fun goodies at pools. And I've been overtaken by waves in the ocean, but I've never spent probably more than, God, even 30 seconds, for sure 45 seconds underwater until yesterday. Wait, what's today? Until yesterday.
And it all changed.
And then it all changed. There is something, you know, I practiced scuba and trained in a pool, as people do, and I will be going out to open water next weekend, so I'm sure I'll have a lot more to say about it now, or then, than now, but there's something funny about being underwater. Can you imagine being underwater for minutes at a time, just chilling out and breathing? You might think, like, oh no, like, I've never had an experience close to that. But you kind of can, because you've seen images of, or like video of scuba divers, or movies where people come out of the water, or you've played a video game where you're underwater. And the technology is so tight and everything is so perfect. And like, it's just so easy, you know? I mean, not everything that you're doing down there feels easy and natural to begin with, but just putting, oh my God, putting the regulator in your mouth and just breathing underwater is so great. You're like immediately just like, yeah, I'm underwater.
So yeah, how'd you get down on this?
Of course I can breathe underwater. How did I get interested or sign
up? Yeah. Like what's the situation here?
Wow. You can defer back to the episode where Sean talked about beginning scubaing and also talked about trying to ask out a girl at work, where I argued for 40 minutes.
I have
minutes.
Not seen her at work, by the way, for maybe like 16 days.
And my argument holds true.
It's funny to think, like, how far, I wonder how far she moved.
She literally moved away, different continents and states.
I wonder if she did like a one trip, like a single van move, or I wonder if she like got airplanes involved.
She flew to Japan, and I'm going to see her next month.
Sounds like I missed the one episode that had all the lore. You ever like miss an episode of TV, and it's like you come back the next week, and there's new characters, and like someone's missing an arm?
That's this podcast.
In a way, each week we are a new character. But even if you missed it, the quick summary is just that, you know, I always have had an interest in wildlife. I love watching nature documentaries. The ocean is fascinating to me and also a little frightening. I love being outside. I spend a lot of time biking and walking, being in the woods. I love plants. I love animals. And I think that going to the ocean is just, or going under a lake, or just being underwater, doing the scuba diving, is just like so naturally appealing to me and feels like a must-have experience. I don't really want to die saying like, oh, I never went down there, you know? I never checked out any place down there where most of Earth is underwater. And yeah, I never looked at it. You know, I couldn't live with that. And it was building up a lot this year, especially because Planet Earth 2 came out. There's lots of great stuff in the water there. And
wait, the sequel to Our Planet came out this year? Because I really need to, I would love if I could find a way to get off this planet.
It was a serious Hollywood rush job, if you ask me. A real cash in. And, you know, part of it too was, you know, just I didn't want to feel stagnant. And I think a big kickoff was knowing that Kirby was going to go to Japan. And I started thinking about traveling and seeing new things and just participating in a greater physical space on Earth than the one that I usually go back and forth from in my daily life. And I didn't know if I exactly wanted to join the trip to Japan, but I wanted to do something. So I decided to take a trip to the ocean where you can find outer space right here on Earth. So I signed up, I pulled the trigger. I don't really buy or do that much for myself, so I went for it.
Is it pricey?
It is quite pricey. I mean, the initial buy-in for the classes and getting the certification and the required equipment, which is really just like fins and a mask and snorkel, and I got some neoprene boots, like a wetsuit of boots. That's all going to come to around like $1,000, but you know, if I were to continue and want my own equipment, which is advisable if you're really interested in a hobby, you don't want to keep renting different gear and stuff that doesn't really maybe fit right or feel right or always meet your needs as you go from place to place. You know, if you ski every summer, you should probably just buy every summer. If you ski,
well, sometimes people take trips to like Aspen or something. And
that's true.
If you ski at some point every year, you should probably just have skis. So if I get really interested in scuba diving, this initial like $1,000 investment is probably going to be some pennies once I find that I have to buy a wetsuit and a BCD, a buoyancy control device, which is like the big backpack with all the straps and hookups for your cords and your breathing regulator and all
I wouldn't
that.
Want to so. Have my I feel like I would be afraid to have my own one of something like that.
Why is that?
Because I would be afraid that I'm not maintaining it well enough for it to work. It's because it's a thing that keeps you alive, right? So it's the kind of thing that you want to make sure is in like tip-top shape.
Definitely, but maintenance is not terribly difficult, and also because scuba is so dangerous, the safety precautions are like ultra conservative, and you really got to get stuff inspected and looked at all the time, and you never go alone, and there are, you know, you have to test like a lot of stuff before you go in each time. I don't think that's like, it's not really
all right, sure.
It's not like having your own car where you can just ignore it for so long and then there's a problem and there's a big piece of metal hanging off from the underside of your car and it's scraping and sparking on your way home from work and you think, oh god, I hope it just falls off, And even if it kills the person behind me, I hope it just falls off and I don't have to think about it tomorrow morning when I wake up. Boy.
That's dank.
Well,
yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
That's exciting.
Pretty exciting. Yeah. Also, you know, everybody loves, I wanted to get a real life look at the underwater levels. And I got to tell you, underwater levels in video games, very accurate. You think they're hard to control? Try controlling your own body underwater. You just are, you're spinning around. Your legs are weak and stupid. Your arms are flailing. And
how deep did you go?
How deep?
How deep?
I was in a pool, so I went like 12 feet. But next week, I'll be going 60.
That's a marked increase.
Yeah, 60 is the limit for the like basic certification.
We call the basic people Scoobies.
And then you become a scuber, and then you become a scubist, and you become a scoob lord.
And then you become a Scooby Dooby Doo.
The big Scooby
Dooby Doo.
They call me Poolside Scoobabe. Yeah. Do you guys have any favorite underwater levels?
I'm gonna say no. It's a boring answer, but it checks out.
I'm gonna say Dire Docks.
Yeah. What about
It's kind of underwater.
What about in like the Donkey Kong games?
What are you talking about? Dire Docks is most definitely underwater.
It's half under. Wait, is that the one that's?
It's the one where you go down and there's the eel.
Yeah. Okay. What's the other one? The one that like you change the water level.
That is a good question. Temple? The one with the skitters.
Wet Dry World.
Wet Dry World. Yeah, Sean is totally right.
There it is.
That one's not as good.
No, it is not as good.
Everybody's got to love the underwater stuff in like Majora's Mask when you're whipping around in the Zora suit.
Oh, yeah, that was tight.
Oh, yeah, that was so sweet. Wish I could put that suit on and just slip around high speed.
The Great Reef. That is a good that is a good underwater level.
Yeah, the Great Reef.
The Great Reefer? Yeah. Thank you, Sean. So what did you do this week, Mason? Oh, hold on. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Path I didn't think that out.
Ooh, how exciting.
I went to a dog pool party yesterday.
Oh, shit. I got to hear about it.
That was pretty sweet. I mean, the thing that's tough about Chance is that he's actually like a pretty anxious dog.
He is.
He doesn't like get along with other dogs very well. And he kind of just likes to chill out. He doesn't like anything too extreme. But regardless of that, we brought him to a dog pool party that was just like, you know, there were just like it was at an outdoor bar. There were like a bunch of kiddie pools, and there were like all sorts of different types of dog treats. Some of them were frozen. They were called Pupsicles. So, I mean, it was a pretty fun time. He just kind of went in the water and chilled out. There were some, he gets along better with big dogs than with little dogs. Cause like, big dogs don't try to play with him as much as they just like go up to him and smell him and like chill out, which like he can kind of get behind. So yeah, that's pretty much what I did this weekend. I just like hung around with the dog and we went to that, ate some pretty good wings while the dog was like chilling out in a pool. So
I'm with Chance on this one. Being around a dog park or a lot of dogs gets me real anxious too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a group of like three or four dogs could just like anything could happen.
And you don't, and what if they just decide to like gang up on you?
That's it.
Like, you don't know.
You won't know anything after that. It's over.
That's it.
You never want them to decide that they don't want to be.
Did you try a popsicle?
No, because they're dog treats.
What are they made out of?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I didn't ask.
Liquefied and refrozen raw.
What if it was all chocolate?
Well, that's then the nice. Dog would be dead. And he's not dead, so I'm guessing it's not chocolate.
Okay, fair enough. Good transitive property use. That does sound adorable. I wish I could take a cat anywhere, but I don't even know if I can take him to my house or my room. He's terrible a lot of times. But I still love him.
Alex spoke about getting a leash for the cats back at my old place, and I feel like that probably didn't go anywhere because you probably shouldn't put a leash on a cat, especially none of the cats that like lived at my house. I feel like they wouldn't fare so well in those circumstances.
I feel like if you want to do that, you have to do it early and often.
Yeah, because I can't imagine like like it's not like a dog where dogs are trained to like walk forward and be like more controllable. Like with a cat, it would just be like you couldn't get it to walk straight. I feel like it would just be like running around in different directions and like impossible to control.
Yeah, does not work out.
Man, but that would be so sick. I would be so happy if I could walk my cat.
But I definitely,
like an insane
I mean,
person.
It is so nice to have a dog, just because like I have a hard time like leaving the house sometimes because I just don't have anything to do, and like even just being like I'm gonna go to the dog park is like a perfectly like great reason to just leave the house and to just do something else for a bit.
Yeah, and you might see anything out there or anyone.
Yeah,
I like
have
that.
Have you ever met anyone at the dog park or met any dogs, any regulars?
Yeah, we haven't like exchanged like numbers or anything, but there's also like just on my day-to-day walks, like people who I've met who like also are walking their dog. So, you know, that stuff is cool.
Do you like appreciate, a lot of people would try to pet Chance, right? Or no? Or
they say, they don't. And I, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Thankful that they don't try to pet him. One thing that's good is that he's so small, he's so close to the ground, that somebody would actually have to like exhibit energy to try to pet him. They would have to like bend down to get
no drive-bys unless you've got really long arms.
Yeah, or really short legs.
yeah that would be freaky.
I'm shocked though. He is pretty tiny. I'm surprised that doesn't invite more petting.
I think about that a lot. He probably worry gets a lot about of, like, yeah, two people walking by, and then as they're walking by, oh, did you see him? He's so cute.
He does, yeah.
And then you're just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I get a lot of that. There was a little girl recently who just pointed at him and said, he's so small, I could put him in my pocket. I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes I think that. But I worry about kids because, you know, he's like the size that like a kid could walk past and pet him. Oh, and I always worry that some kid that doesn't know anything about dogs is just going to like run up to him and pet him and lose a finger. And that would be annoying.
That would be annoying and
I
deadly.
Feel like it's not my fault, right? Like if Chance bites someone's finger off because they ran up.
Ooh,
and like
I feel
put
like
their fingers in
that mouth. Might become your fault pretty quickly if that actually happened.
If I don't give someone permission to touch my dog, are they allowed to touch my dog?
I don't know. The way that people act around dogs, you'd think that they were society's dogs. Once you take them out of the house, they're like the Rhodes dogs.
You think that I should start asking people, excuse me, does this look like society's dog to you?
Is this a communal dog or is this my dog? Excuse yourself. He just took a shit back there. Do you want to clean it up?
Oh, I see you're petting my... Is he your dog now? Is that how this is going?
Oh, here's the leash. Here's the leash. Here's the adoption papers. Out.
Let someone pet your dog and then hand them the leash.
That's what I'm saying.
And say thank you.
thank you. I didn't want him anyway. He's yours. You think you can just come up and pet him so you like you own him, like he's a piece of property? Okay. So he's yours. And this is how often he likes to eat, and this is how often he likes to shit, which is all the time on anything.
He's had his heartworm medication 2 days ago, so in 28 days you have to administer that.
You could put your own phone number. You could put your phone number on his dog tag and just be like, oh, thanks for taking him. If anyone says, hey, I found your dog, it's say, thanks. That's it. You can keep him. No, don't get rid of Chance. He loves you.
He does love you. And he loves Obama.
Anyone would love Obama at this point. There's no one left to love, you know? We always default to the most lovable person in our proximity, you know?
Yes.
I can tell you that. That's a truth from working in the same place for too long. People really start taking extra laps, just looking again, having a second look, third look. Who's here? Nobody new? Well, this person's not so bad.
So, Ryan, when was the last time you heard someone say, not my president?
Not recently, because I in fact stopped asking the question, because to hear the name of the current president is so triggering, upsetting. I don't want to hear the current name of the name of the current president. I mean, I hate that question anyway. Like for the uninitiated in the WTDG lore or EMS lore, we have to ask A&O alert and oriented questions, and it's stuff like, obviously you try and figure out if the person knows their name, which if they don't know their name, where they are, or like basic things, then they're A&O zero. And then for like the simple A&O, like if they can get like person, like who are you, place, and then a question that you'd have to think about a little bit, or know like a general societal question, like who is the president is a very good question. Just because it's something where if you are aware of like greater societal things, then that should be a very easy question for most people who are with it to know the answer to. But I stopped asking that question altogether because I hate that question. I hated it because throughout Barack Obama's presidency, everyone always would say, "Not my president," and give me that kind of answer. Like this baboon. And it's like, oh, good. OK, don't finish your sentence. I'm done with this.
It's DNR.
Not my patch.
He's awake, but his DNR.
Not my expansion.
So when Trump became president, I was just like, you know what? I don't give a shit what you think about him because I don't like him. So I don't want to hear anything about it. And so I stopped asking that question.
You know what I just thought of? When was the episode where I called upon our listener to tweet at us to know?
Yes, the last episode.
And did it happen?
I know Rob did. I know, biggest fan of the show, friend of the show, Robbit the robot.
I appreciate Rob so much, but he was not the person that I was calling.
He answered you though. Like, you made the call. That's you. That's on you. And then Rob came to your side, and then you're like, okay, not you.
I'm not trying to be rude. I just.
What are you saying? Because you're speaking directly to him at this point.
I'm not satisfied. Rob, you better find a friend.
Phone a friend, Rob. I don't know.
I need a stranger.
Not I don't even know because I don't run that Twitter account
or played a game with. I've been in a group with him in World of Warcraft or something.
James, did you pay any attention to Twitter this week?
To Twitter, no.
To the
TDG Twitter.
The only Twitter stuff I paid attention to was
Nazis.
Polygon related, actually.
Oh yeah, there was a big Polygon thing.
Polygon wrote a huge article about us.
No, I just want to let's stay away from that. But no, I didn't pay any attention to Twitter this week. Why?
Because we wanted to know if anyone tweeted the show.
Yeah, I called upon our viewer to tweet.
We got a retweet for the show. The show was retweeted, but that's it. Let me see. The WTDG podcast.
This is how the magic happens, right? While we're waiting for him to log into the WTDG. No.
Tweets and replies now.
Okay.
So what was supposed to happen? You were expecting an at response?
Yeah. I think that's what he was expecting.
Of someone who said, I listen to the podcast.
Yeah, but you didn't say asterisk, it can't be Rob. So I'm pretty sure by default, this episode is sponsored by Rob. Are we clear on that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, so this completely debunks like the whole like 800 subscribers thing, right?
No.
I don't know.
You think they're going to throw us a surprise party?
How do you debunk an actual quantifiable metric?
Yeah, but dude, I mean, like on Instagram, a lot of my followers are not real people, you know? Like there's like robots out there.
Okay. Why would a robot subscribe to an RSS feed?
Robots can do anything.
But why would somebody have a bot subscribe to an RSS feed?
Why would 800 people all refuse my call? What are they waiting in the dark for my birthday? Are they going to do a surprise? Hey, we're tweeting at you. We've been waiting this whole time.
Dude, a lot of people don't even use Twitter anymore, though.
Yeah, but
so
I requested that they perhaps just make an account just to humor me.
If someone told you to make an account to humor them, let's say you were listening to like a podcast and someone said, okay, so one of you 800 people out there, just make a Snapchat and, snap us if you listen.
If I was a subscriber to a show that had either one or 800 viewers and I listened every week and they said, hey, would you please make an account and just let us know you're out there? Fuck yeah, I would do that.
Nothing could convince me to make a Snapchat account.
The rewards for doing that are unimaginable. Oh, God. Endless rewards. Boundless. Absolutely. You do not know the sort of shower that I would bring upon my fam.
What if we did an actual giveaway? If we just said, okay, everybody who responds to this,
think they're holding out? You know what? Fans of our show, they're smart. They know
also,
what they're doing.
Also, personally, at the end of last episode, I would have tuned out long before.
Oh yeah, it was horrible.
I mean, this is a pretty good episode. We've got some momentum. Last week, yeah, I probably would have tuned out about an hour in.
What are we talking about?
Did you not like the whole thing about the Italian cookies?
No, yeah, that's it. As soon as like that was really the kicker for me. See, this is a good episode. We've got everything people like. We've got dogs. We've got scuba diving. We've got some a little bit of spicy politics on the side.
Yeah, yours truly. It all.
We have amateur philosophical discussions.
This is a hot podcast. This is a hot episode.
I'll say it right now.
So how about this? If you're listening to the show, reply to the tweet that is sent out by either my personal YouTube Twitter account at MamesJason or at WTDU Podcast Twitter account. If you listen to the show and you're hearing this message, reply and say, "Fuck you, Sean."
Come on.
Or say God does exist.
Yes, 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 yes.
P.S. Fuck you, Sean.
I have heard him, and he has told me the deal with games.
Yeah, but then, he says you have to comment and subscribe. you have to asterisk this because now it's like Joe, Meg, Robert, like we're gonna get the classics.
They don't count.
If you haven't met us in person, then do it, and y'all be entered to win a shout out.
I will bring an extra chair for you at the next fan meetup. And you want to get behind the table? Come on over.
You want to be on the podcast?
It'll be a nice chair. I'm talking about like a comfy chair, right?
Yeah.
A beanbag chair.
At PubCon.
Sean will bring a beanbag chair for
you. At TuneCon.
What about Sean? Sean, can I posit something? How about if someone shouts out the show and says, "Fuck you, Sean," can they be at your next...
I don't really want them to say that. Do you think that's the kind of like tone that we encourage on our show?
No, but Mason did already, and it's set in stone.
It depends. If we got traction from like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, then yes. Because
If PlayerUnknown tweets the show and he's like, "Fuck you, Sean," I don't give a shit. Like I'm on it.
I'm down.
You'd be down too, Sean.
I'm down. Yeah, I am. I'm into it.
How about the new PUBG patch that has all the WTDG shirts?
That would be sick.
Oh wow, that would be so sweet.
You think? That's all you could say. That would be sick. That would be like life affirming. That would be bizarre.
That would be.
Would you play the game more if it had WTDG t-shirts?
I know because I assume PUBG is the PlayerUnknown is one of the people who listens to this ridiculous shit. If there was any chance and this happened, because there's no chance, I will.
Well, there's one chance.
Is there a chance?
I met him at the pool party.
But then that wouldn't count.
Think about this though. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and What's the Deal with Games, they're both abbreviations that end in a G. So I would say there's actually like a lot of crossover, a lot of lore that really connects these two enterprises.
I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying.
Wouldn't you agree?
I like what you're saying. I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there are WTDG shirts in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I will play it every moment of the day that I am not sleeping or working for a month. It will be a terrible month, but I will do it.
I feel like you'd actually like that game has a barrier of entry for enjoyment. I feel like maybe along the third day you'd get into it.
I don't think that game is bad. I actually do want to play the first person shooter servers.
I feel like it'd be scary, but yeah, I agree.
I mean, you tweet at the show or make a public acknowledgement of the show that we can see, James Mascarpone, the Terror Masseuse, will restart his World of Warcraft account and join your guild.
No.
He will join your guild.
I won't.
If you retweet the show,
Sean will play one video game sometime in the time between now and the end of the year.
And it's the game of your choice.
The game of your choice.
Here, if you listen to the show and you play Path of Exile, and you say that Sean has to play Path of Exile, then Sean has to level a character to at least level 60.
Out of?
100.
That's fair.
60.
That's fair right there. That's only fair.
It's a free game.
It's free.
60 out of 100. Why didn't you say 100?
Because you can't get done.
Because that's too hard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you know, I'm still one of the exiled, even if I get to 60 by the rules of our discussion at the beginning.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the path, and you know, I'm there with everybody else. Even
so, here's a question: in order to be a thing, do you have to enjoy it?
No.
I mean,
absolutely not. How do so many people have jobs?
Yeah, a lot of people play League of Legends for professionally.
Are you saying that League is not enjoyable to them?
I would think no.
I think it is. I think it is for a lot of them. Provable by streams.
Some of them have said that they have the best job in the world.
Who
said
that?
But definitely not all of them like it.
People who say that, like, they've never had all of the other jobs.
Best is also subjective, so it's like...
What if you were a rich person's dog petter, and then... What if you were a rich person's dog petter and they have the cutest, most lovable dog, and only once a week for 1 minute they want you to come to their house and pet their cute dog, and they pay you millions of dollars, and that's the best job in the world? Like, yeah, that is the best job in the world.
There's something to be dissatisfied with there, I guarantee you.
The commute.
No, there's no commute. The rich person lives next to your house. They're like, listen, I will buy the house next to my mansion. I will buy a mansion next to my mansion. I will pay for everything. I'll pay for all of your bills, all your everything. All you need to do is once a week, for 1 minute, for only 1 minute, consecutive minute, pet my adorable, you know, lovable dog.
I actually heard, I can't remember where, but I heard that like the longer lasting benefits that you get from like petting animals or cuddling animals, you actually need to like go for 90 seconds. So you might never attain that bond and long lasting happiness with the dog if you stop at 60.
You don't have to stop at 60. That's just what you have to do. That's the required amount.
Oh.
He says at least. I said at least 1 minute.
All right. Yeah, I love when video games give you a pet that you can pet.
How about a ballista?
I hate when video games give you a pet that you can't pet.
How about a ballista?
Hmm?
How about summoning a pet ballista?
Hmm?
How about...
I don't want to do that.
Summoning a pet ballista.
Is this a meme?
No, it's just something you can do in Path of Exile.
Oh, okay. Oh, good segue. So how's the path been?
How's
Rayquest?
You know what I will tell you guys? I had an amazing video game week. I played great games. I did not make any poor choices. And I played Path of Exile and Tekken and Overwatch. And that's
And no
it.
Disconnects.
And I wasn't really getting disconnects.
What do you mean no poor choices?
I mean, I didn't make any poor choices is what I mean. I mean, like, I didn't buy anything, you know?
Like you didn't... Wait.
No, I mean, like, I didn't buy anything.
Wait.
I didn't buy anything that would be stupid. I didn't buy anything that would be stupid.
Let's dial this back. What do you think he did this week, Sean?
I didn't buy anything that would be stupid. I made good choices.
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
I saw an advertisement for Hearthstone.
I made good choices.
I saw an advertisement for Hearthstone that said you could get 3 free packs for, like, logging in from the new expansion. The frozen?
Tundra. The cold place.
Cold play. You got those 3 packs, didn't you? And you got...
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You got
and
me.
How many more packs did you get after that?
You got me. Oops. You got me. I got the 3 packs. But I played... I was playing a lot of Path of Exile, and I got my partner at work into Path of Exile. What?
What's the person's name?
Austin. I got him into into Path of Exile. And I was talking about it because we've been trying to play a game that we both agree on. We don't agree, like, we both like video games, but we don't agree on a lot of the same games. Like, he can't play a...
What is he like?
What?
What is he like?
He's pretty weeby. He's kind of a weeaboo. He's watches lots of anime, plays a lot of video games, but he mostly plays what does he mostly play? I'm trying to think. I mean, like, RPGs.
Ragnarok Online.
I feel like that would be a good game to explain him, yeah. Because he can't play he gets motion sick from first-person shooters or, like, third-person shooters, so he has a hard time with stuff that moves fast like that. He needs, he plays a lot of League. He plays a lot of League, for sure. And he keeps wanting me to play League, but I haven't been on League. So we were trying to think about, a game we could both play. So, I was saying, I'm getting into Path of Exile, and, I have a friend who knows, an uncomfortable amount about that game. And then my partner said, I kind of am interested, but I would want to play a big, strong character that warped around a lot and, did AoEs when it was warping around. So I texted James, hey, my partner wants to play it. Can you recommend a build? So James, in less than a second, actually, weirdly enough, as I was typing this text, James sent me a text that's like, I know what you're about to text. Hold on. Your partner is going to ask for this type of build. I've already got fantastic ideas about this thing your partner wants. So James recommends, this Sunder build, and I just gotta say, he is loving it right now. He is having so much fun. He is, texting me about the game. We were playing earlier today.
I wish he should text me about the game.
I mean, we all gotta get together, right? He was so excited. He was today he was dude, you're, because he just got Sunder right now. He's finally got Sunder in the build. And he's this is, you know that complicated feeling of you're looking at an RPG. There's a million, and this is Path of Exile, so it's there's a million directions to go, but you don't know what you're gonna feel comfortable with, what you want to allot your time on, and you think by making the choice you might make a mistake and then get upset with it. The way he describes it is you 100% nailed exactly the emotional feeling he wanted to get out of Path of Exile right now, and he could.
I'm like a Path of Exile sommelier.
Yes, you are.
Kirby's like a Path of Exile samosa.
I am. I'm like a stale Oreo.
Sean, I'll help you pick your build out.
But he was having a lot of fun. James recommended me a complimentary build, a high DPS build, and I'm loving that. Tornado Ranger. Path of Exile has been really fun.
Do you have Tornado Shot yet? I assume you don't have it yet, do you?
No, you are correct in assuming that. I use lightning shot, and I have it.
That's a good one.
I have lightning shot, multiple projectile, and elemental affinity. So my lightning shot is split into three, and when it hits a target, it AoEs nearby targets for 50% damage with lightning strike. So I'm hitting whole packs of enemies with this, and it's AoEing near the center of where I'm hitting. Plus, it has a 20% chance on hit to either add a burn dot, freeze the target, or shock the target.
It's pretty good until you run into single targets, where it gets a little trickier.
I mean, that build that you recommended has single target specific attacks. Like the way that they format the build is you do the AoE build, and then you also have an AoE button and a single target button.
Yeah, that's sort of similar to the build that I'm playing, even though the build itself operates very differently. I just started my third character in Path of Exile. So
what level are you?
On which character?
On your lowest one, because we just did the bandits.
So I started my character today, and I'm 44.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I'm at about where the other characters of ours are. I'm very fast at this point in Path of Exile. I'm very fast. One thing that that I'm very good at in Path of Exile at this point is I know exactly what skills to level with in order to like get my like to be performing optimally. So I know that if I'm leveling a shadow, then I start with Fire Trap no matter what. And if I'm leveling like any sort of like two-handed build, then I'm going to start with Cleave, and then I'm going to move to Sunder, and then I'm going to move to Ice Crash. And at level 51, I'm about to equip my unique sword that's going to totally change my build. My build is essentially going to go online at level 51, and I'm going to transition away from Ice Crash and onto Flicker Strike, which is an ability that teleports you behind the nearest enemy target and attacks them. And if you have a frenzy charge, you can expend that frenzy charge to remove the cooldown. So essentially, you just teleport around the map, killing everything. And this is not a league starter. It's a character that you cannot afford to play at the beginning of the league if you want to play it efficiently. But now that I actually have like a ton of currency, I can afford to do it. So I'm really excited to check that out in just a few levels.
Wow. I wish you had a character around the bandit level.
I could get one in a half hour.
Okay. If you wanted to do that.
The question is, what do I want to play next?
If you wanted to do that and then have a character that you're leveling alongside us, that's a thing.
Yeah, but then there would be like those times. That kind of thing is always so tricky when it's like, hey, we're on. Are you on? No, I'm not around. Oh, okay.
That's why I started leveling up this character because I was worried that I was going to out-level you playing my second character, which is a poison character. I've also never explained how that character works, but that character is super-duper interesting. I don't know if you know anything about how it works.
No, you're a shadow that you play with me?
Yes. So that character is really interesting, and it works on two abilities. And it's a pretty simple build. But I do think it's fascinating. So there's one thing called Essence Drain, which essentially it's a single target ability that you shoot at someone and they take damage over time. However, if the target is affected by another ability called Contagion, then when they die, they shoot out like an AoE burst around them and it spreads both Contagion and Essence Drain. So, if Essence Drain is doing enough damage, essentially you can, and if everyone's tightly close together, you can essentially kill an entire map with just Essence Drain and Contagion if you scale it correctly.
Wow.
And it's kind of interesting because the way that the ability looks, it's not flashy the way that like a lot of other abilities in the game are. It's just like this little slow-moving purple orb. And then as soon as it hits the target, you put Contagion on them, which is like this little AoE burst. And then one target dies. And then slowly you just watch the AoE spread and kill everything around you. It's really satisfying.
That's pretty cool. I want to return to my shadow that I have with you. And on Sean's point, that is more frustrating when in like an MMO when you need to get to end game and there's something you want to do. But when in Path of Exile, it would be like, I have my Mason character, I have a solo character, and then I have an Austin character. And since Mason is so good at leveling, I could play my Austin character with just Austin, but when Mason gets behind, he would probably just be able to like level up and get up to us whenever he wants. So it would be pretty easy.
I also just have the gear just to move between characters. So that I can just level them up so fast because they're always wearing optimal gear.
What was that bow that you had for me? What did that do?
I have a lot of bows you can use, but I think the one that I was going to give you was, let me see. It's a level 18 bow, so you can just equip it right now. And it has 66% increased attack damage, more attack speed, and skills chain. So every skill that you attack with chains to another enemy. It'll hit someone, flicker off of them, and hit someone else. And it has 34% increased elemental damage.
Oh, wow.
With attack skills. So it's just like a really amazing starter bow.
That is really good. Dad, what are the gems on it, though?
Right now it's just two greens, but you know that that doesn't matter. Just throw some jewels in there. Socket it up.
I have a decent bow that has three green sockets that are all fused.
So what? Use jeweler orbs and fusings, and you can make any bow like that.
I don't have a lot of currencies, though.
You can do it. I believe in you. It's dinner time. I'm eating dinner.
I can tell. So other than that,
I prepared some lemon garlic chicken.
Do we have that much to talk about? Because the only thing I have I would talk about is like Tekken. I don't think anyone gives a shit about me talking about Tekken.
What happened to video games this week? Have I corrupted you? Has my influence?
It's
weird to talk about Path of Exile because it's like
chew right, your food.
There's so much to say, but I don't know. So I would love to do an in-depth discussion on Path of Exile, but only if people want to hear it. So if you want to hear an in-depth discussion on Path of Exile next week, on my, you know, on what builds I'm liking, on my current progress through endgame, on my current currency acquisition and where I'm farming, because I'm pretty okay at this game now. So if that's something you'd like to hear us talk about and maybe sort of try to explain to Sean, leave a comment, leave a reply to the tweet that goes out every week for the show.
And say, fuck you, Sean.
And say, fuck you, Sean. I want to hear some Path of Exile discussion. And next week, I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you all about the level of effectiveness of the build that you've created for me. Because I'm going to craft my character and roleplay you, the fan.
Oh, also, yeah, Sean, you have to name your character after whoever replies to the tweet.
Will do.
Dauntless Founders Alpha is coming out this Friday, so next week I'm also going to be talking about that. Dauntless, for those who don't know, is a free-to-play monster hunting game for PC. So that's pretty exciting, because there's not a lot of those out there.
All right. Since Mason is eating, is it time to wrap this up?
No. I don't need to deal with this. WTDG food review. What do you got?
Thank you, Ryan Gatling, crying for the use.
Lemon garlic chicken.
Lemon garlic chicken. Classic.
Your music.
When you deal with a classic recipe like this.
The intro and outro. Revive.
The process is familiar.
Off the new
album. Is it done well?
You Beyond know, the Fleeting Gales.
Compete against a lot of different.
You can find them
garlic dishes that have been
at the Run for Cover and Bandcamp.
I think it's almost easier to make something brand new, something bold and daring, because you say, "How dare you judge this?" when there's nothing to compare it to. I think there's probably a lot of lemon garlic chickens being created and consumed in New York City right now. So
this recipe we cooked this in the slow cooker, so you know. Carrots, potatoes, onion in the slow cooker. Put the chicken breasts over the vegetables. Season it with olive oil, lemon juice, lemons, rosemary, and thyme. It's a little dry. The chicken's a little dry, rosemary, which is unfortunate. Also, I didn't use enough salt, which is kind of like a thing that can be remedied, which is kind of good. But for the amount of effort that goes into it, it's pretty good. I'm satisfied with it, especially since this is the first time cooking chicken breasts in the slow cooker.
So would you say that you're a cooker?
Would I call myself a chef? I wouldn't, because I don't do it professionally and I don't like to do it.
Yeah, but has anyone ever paid? No. No one has ever paid you to cook for them.
Nope.
Take us out.
Kill me. Take me out. Take me out to dinner.
This has been WTDG Podcast. You can find us online, WTDGpodcast.com. That's where the show lives. Did you know that? On Twitter, at WTDG Podcast.
That's on Twitter.
On Twitter. You can also,
WTDG Podcast.
At WTDG Podcast on Twitter, where you can reply to the notification that this show has gone out and say, hey, I listen to your show, and tell us about it. You don't have to tell us about it. Just tell us you do it. You can also go to iTunes where you can rate, comment, and subscribe to the show.
Comment.
That's I already it, did guys. The Ryan Galloway thing. Baby Makes Three.
Nice.
Hell yeah.